Good morning. Welcome to the Wednesday, February 13th, 2019 regular closed session meeting of the East Bay MUD Board of Directors. Roll call.
Directors Coleman.
Present.
Katz. Lenny.
Here.
Mellon.
Present.
Patterson.
On his way to regular.
There he is.
Present.
McIntosh.
Here.
President Young.
Here.
Perfect.
I'm kidding. Okay, is there anyone for a public comment? I have no cards. Okay, we'll now convene to conference room 8 to discuss the closed session agenda items 1A, B, and 2A to C. And we will return here for our regular meeting at 1:15 p.m. Welcome to the Wednesday, February 13th, 2019 regular business meeting of the East Bay MUD Board of Directors. Roll call.
Directors Coleman.
Present.
Katz.
Present.
Lenny.
Here.
Mellon.
Present.
Patterson.
Present.
McIntosh.
Here.
President Young.
I'm here. Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have a motion or a action item to amend the 2019 board committee assignments. It should have been in your packet. So we need a.
I would make a motion to approve.
Any discussion?
Second.
Okay. Although it's been seconded. Doug seconded. Frank made Doug seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Carries. Thank you. And before we proceed to anything else, time for a little presentation. Today, we have the honor of recognizing Director Lisa McIntosh for her leadership on the East Bay Municipal Utility District Board of Directors over the last 2 years. When she was elected in 2017, Director McIntosh stated that she would work collaboratively with her fellow board members in four specific areas: wise budget decisions, critical investment in our infrastructure, locking in conservation savings from our district customers beyond the drought, and equity in all areas of district dealings. And she made progress in all of those. Some highlights include leading the board through the budget and rate setting on the heels of the drought, resulting in a successful FY18-19 budget and rate structure that allowed the district to launch its pipeline rebuild program, formation of the 10 pipeline rebuild crews over the last 2 years, and a push for long-term customer savings that endure to this day. These water savings brought the district to realize its 2020 customer water use goal far ahead of schedule. Working to expand our customer assistance programs, range, and visibility to reach our most disadvantaged customers, and celebrating a record Chinook salmon return in 2017 and the designation of 37 miles of the McCollumy River as wild and scenic last year. Director McIntosh brought these and other district goals to fruition with her steadfast leadership, and she has laid the groundwork for the years ahead. On behalf of the board, staff, and our 1.4 million customers, we present you with this plaque and would like to thank you, Director McIntosh, for your work as president of the East Bay MUD Board of Directors.
Thank you very much. It's always an honor to serve the district in any and all capacities, but this is just one more thing I have to do. Though John suggested that I drop a little dog food on it, let my dogs handle it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa.
All right. We have no announcements from closed session. Is there anyone present for public comment? Looks like we have one card on agenda item 4, so that's not on public comment. So I guess we'll be pulling item 4 from the consent calendar, and we have a request to pull number 8. Okay, does somebody want to move?
1, 2, 3, and 5 through 7.
Second that.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor of moving items 1 through 3 and 5 through 7 on the consent calendar, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Abstained? None. Motion passes. Item 4. Do we have somebody to present on that item? We also have a public comment.
Why don't we,
Joey, do you want to go?
Take the comment first. And then.
Okay.
Good afternoon, board, staff. My name is Joey Smith. I am the first vice president of AASHME Local 2019. And in reference to the Snyder contract, we were in discussion with the contracting out committee, and there was a bit of verbiage that was discussed but was not captured in the BD1. It's a statement that we would like to have included. Including training district forces to assume this responsibility prior to the end of this 3-year agreement. When we moved it forward, we were informed by William Johnson in a response email that the BD1 had already gone out and that he wanted to confirm that it is the district's intention to support it internally with district forces. Basically, we don't have an opposition. We just wanted to make sure that we got that understanding on the record.
And we're in agreement that that was a conversation. And so, if you
can,
like.
Is it appropriate to amend the motion to include that, or?
That's an elaboration of what we've put on page 2 under social, where we were in conversations with Local 2019 and Local 21 about the agreement. And over the course of time, the desire is to have staff do that work. But initially, we're going to be using Schneider. Andy Levine is our.
I would move to have that incorporated with the approval of the item.
Sure. Sure. Did I get that right, Andy? Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. Shall we vote on the item? All those in favor of the motion with the amendment to include the language that Joey will provide as she read in her comments? Got it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstain? That's it. Thank you.
Thank you
for bringing
Thank
that
you.
Up. Okay. Item 8, as Director Mellon is wont to do, we'll let you have this one, although I'm actually very happy about this one myself. So.
Alex, well, I would just, I'll let you take the start on it.
I'll just provide an introduction. So it's a pleasure to have the opportunity to ask the board to consider appointing Kelly Zito as a special assistant to the general manager, focusing on public affairs. And as described in the BD1, she comes with very good credentials. And so with that, I turn it over to Director Mellon.
So even though it's been suggested I could say this another way or another couple of ways, I feel that when we're doing appointments like this, that it's not appropriate for it to just be a consent calendar item and run through. That we need to recognize that this is a position that if we're voting on it, it should be voted on separately. I got to admit, I'm very impressed with the credentials I've seen, and I think that we're going to do well. And I'm looking forward to working with you and seeing how, with your other new member on board, and how the rest of the team all works together and gives us a high standard that we're used to. So I will move the item, move forward with it.
I'll second. No, it's not decorum, but I want to.
Oh, that's the one.
You're the president. You can do whatever you want.
Except build a wall.
I won't do that. No worries. Any discussion?
Well, she didn't go to Berkeley, so it's sort of hard. But she didn't go to Stanford, so yes, I'll vote yes.
That makes it okay.
I do want to say that, Kelly, you come with very high recommendations from a number of my colleagues. So I'm very much in a number of spheres, so I'm looking forward to working with you.
And we don't have government shutdowns.
I think it's particularly apt to have someone who comes from a background of journalism and has covered us, has covered much of the water sector in the past, and worked at EPA Region 9. I think it's a really great asset to the district. Welcome.
Anybody else?
We stole her from Alexis, and that's okay.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Let's vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I didn't hear any opposes or abstains, so we'll just go with that. Kelly, do you want to come up and say a few words?
Hello. Good afternoon. My name is Kelly Zito, and I'm obviously the candidate for the Special Assistant to the General Manager position running communications and public affairs here at the district. As folks have mentioned, I have been the Public Affairs Director at EPA Region 9 in San Francisco for the last 7.5 years. In that role, I've managed a team of 18 people involved in media relations, government affairs, community engagement, social media, internal communications, videography, and print publishing, and probably a few others that I haven't listed here. Prior to that, I was a journalist for 16 years, including at the San Francisco Chronicle, where I covered an array of topics, including water policy, climate change, wildlife and ecosystems, open space, and agriculture in the state of California. I'm thrilled at the opportunity to serve the district, where I hope to bring all of my knowledge, experience, and skills to this role. I want to thank General Manager Cote and his team for selecting me, and thank you, the board, for considering me. Thank you.
Well, actually, we already voted for
it's over with. And confirming me, or whatever. You're here. I wasn't going to be sure of the sequence, so.
Who's going to handle the press release?
Should I just log on to a computer right now? Okay. Thank you all.
Congratulations.
Okay.
There's a certain irony in the fact that she gets to handle her press release too, with EPA looking at that.
All righty, we're on to determination discussion and the general manager's report.
All right, so we have a number of items. We wanted to start off with an update on the Delta. And so we have Paul Gilbert Snyder, who's our resident expert on such matters, who's going to provide us with a status of things. So come on up, Paul, and share. There's also a memo in the materials.
Did you have to change your PowerPoint from the governor's speech yesterday?
No, I haven't yet. So this presentation was obviously prepared before today, and yesterday was a holiday for everybody but the governor. So,
well, everybody except us.
This is true. So we can. I'll answer questions about that at the end if you'd like. Let's see here. So yes, thank you. Good afternoon. Brief update on the Delta, and I'm going to include update on the water fix, obviously, and some updates on the operations in the Delta, especially coordinated operating agreements between the Central Valley Project and the State Water Project, and some recent amendments to that agreement. So where we left off with the water fix, I think it was almost a year and a half ago when we gave our last presentation to the board on the water fix. And at that time, the water fix had already certified its final EIR. They had been issued their incidental take permits, and their biological opinions were also finalized. There were some questions about their financial commitments, about the financial commitments of their participants. And there were also two major regulatory hurdles that the Water Fix had to get through, one of those being consistency with the Delta Plan, and the other being State Board approval of their new points of diversion. And, of course, at that time, there were already a bunch of lawsuits lined up. So where are we today? There was a draft supplemental EIR that was issued by DWR in July. DWR made a few tweaks in the project. They tried to reduce the footprint in the Delta. And as a result of those tweaks, they issued a draft supplemental EIR last July. That has not yet been finalized, and I'll get back to that a little bit in a few minutes. The financial commitment issue was resolved early in 2018. A number of the project participants were refusing to commit the funding to it, mostly ag interests from the San Joaquin Valley. And in response to that lack of commitment, DWR was considering downsizing the project from two tunnels to one tunnel, or possibly a phased project where they would go with one tunnel, come back at a later date, and install the second tunnel. The Metropolitan Water District was not a fan of that proposal, so they doubled their commitment to the project, basically to cover the costs that other project participants weren't willing to commit, and to make sure that that moved ahead as a twin tunnel project. So that was last April that the board did that. Their first regulatory hurdle, the consistency with the Delta Plan, DWR did submit their consistency determination in July. There were a number of appeals filed. The Delta Stewardship Council went through a several months long process of listening to those appeals. At the end, the Stewardship Council Chairman Fiorini recommended to DWR that they withdraw their appeal or withdraw their determination, and they did withdraw that determination in December. We were expecting them to file their determination again sometime this year. The other regulatory hurdle was the State Board process, and DWR and the Bureau need State Board approval of their water rights change petition. This is to move their points of diversion or add points of diversion on the Sacramento River. We and 129 of our best friends filed a protest against this change. Hearings began in July of 2016. The second phase of those hearings concluded in August of 2018. However, the State Board hasn't actually closed that hearing process yet. We believe they're waiting for the final supplemental EIR from DWR. I mentioned that they submitted a draft supplemental EIR in July. That's never been finalized. So we think that the State Board is actually waiting for that. Once that's finalized and submitted, the State Board could go ahead and close out the hearings, or they may come back with requesting a third round of hearings. We don't know what the State Board will do. And on an update on the lawsuits, so there were about two dozen lawsuits challenging the CEQA actions, the Water Fix. Ours is one of those. Those have all been consolidated into one court, and so we are just waiting for the court to make the next move. They're going to, you know, eventually put it onto a calendar and sketch that out, but we don't, at this point, it's just in the court's hands. Going back even further in time, when the Delta Stewardship Council adopted their Delta Plan, the lawsuit was filed against that. The Sacramento Superior Court decision back in June of 2016 invalidated the Delta Plan. The Stewardship Council appealed that finding, and so the plan remains in place during the appeal process, and there's been no further action from the courts on that. So it's officially still pending appeal.
Can I ask a question? Since you're going to get to it, but you're talking about the appeal and all that, is it now all invalid with the governor's announcement yesterday going from two to one tunnels? The EIR has to be redone. And so is this all the costs that we've been incurring? Do we stop?
No. Well, so first of all, that's just the governor saying what he will and won't support at this point. We're not sure how DWR, it's actually DWR and Metropolitan's project.
Well, yeah, but DWR works for the governor, so
true.
The governor says DWR is going to do.
Right, but there are a number. DWR will be the one. They're going to have to figure out how they're going to move ahead with this. They could, I mean, they've been down that road a little bit once, early last year when they said we're going to downsize it to one tunnel, or that the other option they floated was a phased project. Sure. So that might be consistent. You know, the governor might decide a phased project because, you know, second at some point in time, you go with the second part of that. As far as CEQA, the environmental documents, it's a big question mark. There's a lot of uncertainty. Arguably, I've been told that you could say, hey, it's just a smaller project, and there's precedent for saying that this project can move ahead because it's, you know, it's essentially the same, it's just smaller. But this is very different because there are a lot of environmental impacts that may be bigger with a smaller project.
Well, so everybody focuses on the governor having said down to one tunnel, but he also said he didn't say we're one tunnel. He said the water fix. He doesn't support the water fix proposal, which is a whole lot more than the two tunnels. It's about operate. I mean, it's potentially a larger statement than just we're going from, we're downsizing to one tunnel. So I think it's probably, my guess is it's
I guess I'm just looking at it from what our legal costs have been.
Yeah.
And, both outside counsel and inside work. And his announcement and how that may impact what we're doing. And if, again, I'm not an attorney, but I would think the documentation that's been done isn't going to be valid for what he's talking about doing and whatever DWR comes up with.
I would argue that it's probably going to be valid. The impacts on our aqueducts, whether it be a single tunnel or a dual tunnel, there's still potential impacts on our aqueducts. The impacts to fisheries and the Freeport potential impacts on Freeport project, it's not so much the size of the project, it's how it's operated. And that's what we've always had the issue with. How are they going to operate this? So the question is still, how will they operate one tunnel? They could still have adverse impacts on both the fisheries and Freeport, even if they have only one tunnel. So, and all the work that we've done helps to support and protects our interests, regardless of whether it's a single tunnel or a dual tunnel. So I don't think it's not money down the drain, and I think it will probably all be useful in the end.
I wasn't talking about what has been spent. I'm talking about what we're going to be spending going forward in the process. I mean, that was just...
No, you raise, this is late-breaking news, and so we'll take what the governor said into consideration as we make our plan forward. But
I mean, I know we need to protect our position and so on. I just didn't know how that played with...
Yeah, often, though, electeds don't... And this is no judgment
really?
Of our board.
Go but, for it.
when the president says that something's going to happen related to the federal project, we don't immediately assume that it's going to happen exactly the same way that it's said. So we'll just have to see how it unfolds.
Sorry for interrupting your presentation.
That's okay. So now on to the Delta operations, the coordinated operating agreement. So this is an agreement that dates back to 1986, and it's an agreement that defines who, between the Central Valley Project and the State Water Project, will be responsible for meeting the flow requirements of the Delta, regulatory flow requirements. Historically, that has been 75% on the Central Valley Project, 25% on the State Water Project. And that was quite a burden on the Central Valley Project, especially during dry years. So this amendment that was finalized in December finally gives the CVP some relief in dry years and critically dry years. It ups the state responsibility to 35% and 40%, respectively. On the opposite side of that seesaw, in very wet years, the CVP would be responsible for up to 80% of those meeting those flow requirements. Also, the export capacity had historically been shared 50-50 between the two projects, but it's now been amended to allow the CVP as much as 65% of the export capacity under certain conditions. And the agreement also provides the CVP with up to 195,000 acre feet of additional yield per year. So these are all benefits to the CVP. When this was originally adopted in 1986, the intent was to go back about every 5 years and make modifications as necessary. This is the first time that the agreement was amended, so it's somewhat long overdue. Of course, as soon as it was finalized, there was a lawsuit filed challenging DWR's approval of the amendment, suggesting that they hadn't followed proper CEQA requirements. So we'll see how that settles out. And then the final issue here is the reinitiation of consultation on long-term operations agreement. This was initiated by the Bureau. It is a priority of the Trump administration. They have two goals: maximize water deliveries and optimize energy production. They have a very ambitious schedule for this year. They did complete biological assessments on January 31st, and their goal is to finalize the biological opinions by June, with a record of decision by the end of the year. So we will follow that very closely to see how that goes. Next steps, we will watch the State Board closely to see what they do with the water fix petition. We will be prepared for additional testimony if that's necessary, if they opt for a round three of the hearings. We will continue participation in the legal action challenging the water fix EIR. We don't know where that will go at this point. And we will also follow the reinitiation of consultation on the long-term operations. And with that, questions?
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Good update. All right. There's also an information memo in your materials on the status of our efforts to arrange meetings with Oakland City Council members regarding, as an opportunity to talk about our desire to have Oakland incorporate a customer assistance program on the sewer charges that we carry for them on our bill. And so Mona Favorite Hill's been working hard to try to make that happen. Our desire was to have that occur during the month of February, but it looks like, it's just very challenging. The council members are busy. And so what I was going to suggest, board members willing, is that we begin by trying to have meetings between council member staff and district staff to walk through the approach. The approach, which I understand as of Monday, looks like the city administrator is continuing to move forward to include in the Oakland City budget. And that approach was a five-year phase-in to ultimately at 7% a year to achieve 35% customer assistance program reduction for those that qualify, which puts it on par with the district's reduction that makes available to low-income customers. At the same time that that agreement between Oakland and the district comes up for renewal. So, if board members are comfortable, we can probably knock out some staff meetings in the next few weeks. If board members would really like us, and I'd like to hear it from you, to arrange meetings, then we will work to do that, and it will probably take us well into March to find time to make that happen. So your feedback as to whether you would like individual meetings and or if it's okay for staff to proceed would be helpful. If we proceed with council member to board member meetings, we've updated the proposed participants on the back page of that memo based on the input from some of our board members. So okay to proceed with staff meetings, or do you give me a show of hands if you want to proceed with board member meetings?
What's the budget cycle? I mean, what's the, you know, the calendar for Oakland in terms of considering budget adoption? I think
they have a draft in April is the plan.
Okay, so what you're proposing, get the staff to staff meetings done this month or early March, and then follow on with
And then depending on what we learn through those meetings and through my interaction with the city administrator, if it appears that we're on track to achieve this phased-in approach, if that's sufficient, then we can just rest with staff meetings. If it looks like we're losing traction on that or board members are really seeking more, then we'll tell me now and we'll go ahead and not have staff meetings. We'll just set up council member meetings.
There are comments from board members?
I think it's a reasonable approach to have staff handle the initial meetings, so February, and see where we are. Perhaps council members and board members won't actually have to do a one-on-one. if staff's performance is stellar. It gets us what we want.
Okay. That's.
I'm in the same opinion. I'm worried about too much time going by, and to start the process with staff would be just fine.
Okay. That's what we were worried about, is if we keep churning here on trying to get a meeting, we might not meet.
Yeah.
Doug or Andy? Andy or Bill?
I agree that we should allow staff-to-staff communication to help expedite the process if we do end up going ahead. So that is my preference. If we do end up going ahead with board meetings, I would request to also co-attend the meeting with Councilmember Cobb, since my district overlaps that city district.
I would agree to staff-to-staff, move forward. I've had a conversation with a council person or two on the subject, but not on the detail. That was just in passing when I ran into him.
I'm fine with that. I have some concern about the length of time for the phase-in. So I'll leave it at that. I'm on the record. I'd like to see it happening in a, you know,
less than five years
period of time. That seems like an awfully long time to phase in.
Just start.
Okay, I very much appreciate your input, and we'll start with staff. We'll express a desire to see less than 5 years, but we'll also point to that's being the Oakland staff recommendation.
And Mona, I guess the other thing that I would add is that I think it is valuable for board members to have these formal meetings with council members. So whether we end up needing them for this or not, Oakland is our largest customer. We don't have the same opportunity to make presentations to them the way that we do at other council meetings for other, the cities in our jurisdiction. So I do think it would be valuable to go ahead with this kind of schedule, including Director Katz for D1 to introduce there's a number of new board members or council members. And we have a number of issues that we have among us, so as well as some delegation with the mayor potentially.
And so, could I characterize that as continue to proceed to try to arrange in a meeting to allow for introduction to new council members? Is that how you'd like?
Well, I think some meetings this year with each of the council, and they don't come to our board briefings.
Okay.
I think we have at least on the formal level. I know a number of us have informal relationships with various members, but I don't think we have the kind of formal connection that I think would be good to have.
All right. Thank you very much. So then moving on to the next item, we would like Dave Briggs to provide
all
an
right.
update on...
Let's see.
The weather.
Don't let us interrupt you.
It seems like the weather is giving you ample ammunition. So.
Yeah, things are going well. Good afternoon, President Young. Good afternoon, members of the board. I'm happy to give you a water supply update. And, things are improving favorably by the minute. And we'll also take this time to give you some projections of supply moving forward. For the remainder of the water year, now that we have our snow survey completed in the field, and we can give you that data with some accuracy. By the way, this photograph that's on here is from Carson Pass. It's an elevation of about 8,300 feet. It's taken 2 weeks ago. So even though the storm that's moving right now through the Bay Area is rather warm, it's still snowing at 8,300 feet. So that snowplow is going to be working much harder in the next few weeks to come. First, we'll look at water production, and again, we're tracking last year more or less, but February has been cold and wet, and you can see that we're far below February of last year in terms of water production. The net result is to pull that average that we're projecting for the entire year down a little bit by 1 or 2 MGD. So at this point, we're expecting to see about 165 MGD of water production on an annual average basis, a little bit lower than previously advertised. Okay, on to the hydrology. So February's been good. and we're only halfway through the month, and these results are only have only been tallied through Sunday night, so the last 24 hours aren't even included on here. And we know we're going to be in a wet cycle here for the next 7 to 10 days. We've already gotten one or two more inches in the last 24 hours in the McKelmy watershed. So February is just going to keep growing. And it's now pulled the average for the year well above average to date. That's going to continue to build. So quite a month of February, and we're only halfway done. Locally, getting there, approaching average, again, this is through Sunday night, so we've probably received another inch or two just in the last 24 hours. More is coming. February will probably be above average for the Bay Area, and we should be approaching average for the season to date.
Dave?
Yes?
I have a favorite reservoir that I always worry about spilling because of a golf course right below it.
Right.
Are we looking at spilling?
We're going to make controlled releases from Chabot. And I know you're talking about USL probably.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll be doing, I'll get to that when I get into the reservoir storage. But the short answer is
paddleboarding on the golf course.
Yeah.
Well, between the car and the sinkhole and my favorite constituent making the news and the golf course, it'll be a good time for me to go out of town for a week or two.
I'll get to that, but we're on top of it, and we're going to be, we have been initiating controlled releases upcountry for quite some time, and yeah, we're going to initiate that down here pretty soon. Okay, on to the snow. So, again, this is only through Sunday night, and I think with what is going to accumulate at 8,000 feet, we're pretty much tracking 2017 still, and 10 times what we had during the same period last year, a year ago. So snowpack is very, very healthy. Probably another 2-3 feet should accumulate here in the next week or so. And then quantifying some of those numbers with the help of our very hardworking snow.
Oh, wow. Right. So, you're the man.
I know it's important to deliver the content in the format that the board wants to see it in. So these numbers are still a little out of date already. I think with what's to come, we're going to be 175% of normal, maybe approaching 200% of normal with the snow depth and the water content up there. So that's looking real good. Panning back out, looking at the entire state with remote satellite sensing data. A year ago, you can see that there was a scarcity of snow, complete absence of snow below 7,000-8,000 feet a year ago. Now, a few days ago, again, this is already obsolete, but just about every part of Central and Northern California above 2,500 feet has snow.
Southern California, too.
Yeah. And even though we're getting rain right now, the snow level is relatively high. So a lot of the lower elevations, some of that snow is going to disappear. But at 8,000 feet, it's going to continue to accumulate.
So it's going to go back down to 2,500 feet by Saturday.
Yeah, yeah. So we have a warm event kind of sandwiched in between two very cold events. So it's going to, but we probably will at least temporarily lose some of that lower elevation snow. Okay, storage. Yeah, we're about as full as we want to be right now. We've had about 625,000 acre-feet of storage for a month or so. And flows into Pardee this morning were about 1,000 cubic feet per second. We're expecting 20,000 tomorrow.
Wow.
This is a warm event, and we're ready for it storage-wise, but probably the more challenging aspect will be handling the turbidity and the hiccups and challenges that gives our water treatment plant. So we're leaning forward on that and preparing for that. But yeah, we got a lot of water coming. So releases are inching up out of Comanche. They're already at 2,000 cubic feet per second, and that'll continue to go up throughout the week. And yeah, locally, we're going to start spilling out of the San Leandro side pretty soon here in a controlled, well-managed way.
Of course. As long as we don't trap some retired school teachers as we did the other year.
So projecting for the rest of the year using our three hydrologies, wet, median, and dry. So this is upcountry precipitation. We're already above median, so median from here on out is going to keep us above median. Even the 90% doesn't look so bad. However, if we're basically the next week or so, we're going to be tracking median to wet anyway. So we are headed for an above-average year precipitation-wise. But more to the point, and importantly, I think, is looking at forecasted storage. Where we are right now, middle of February, again, the storage is not really going to change much for the next couple of months, whether regardless of the hydrology, because all we're doing is managing to our flood reservation space and releasing what's coming in. But as we get into the spring and early summer, the wetter hydrologies will fill the system. We'll come back down to 630, which is full for carryover purposes as we head into the next water year. Even the 90 has us at 630, and if it were to stop raining today, which is not going to, but even if it did, we would be probably around 600,000 acre-feet of carryover if we got nothing for the rest of the year. So the water supply questions are rapidly going away, and we've kind of passed through the threshold of managing a wet year and all the different types of challenges that happen in a wet year. So that's kind of where we are right now.
This is great news. Going to get better, like the snowplow. How are we doing on, since we're releasing from Pardee, are we able to provide hydro to the system, or are we getting shut out?
No, most of that's passing through the powerhouses, but if we go much higher than this, that percentage goes down the higher you go. But right now, we're fully generating.
So is on the market, the hydropower based on what's happening in the Sierras, is the price per kilowatt that we're selling, it's dropping?
So there's a couple things going on right now. Everybody's got plenty of hydrology to generate with, so we expect prices probably to go down through the spring. But the interesting dynamic that's happening right now is that the price of natural gas is going through the roof. So we are doing quite well with revenue on power generation now because the price of natural gas is so high. It's a supply conveyance issue. It's more a short-term issue. But, yeah, our revenue projection for power is looking very good this year.
Nice.
What's the maximum releases that we can make before we start running into downstream flooding problems?
We're at 2,000 CFS right now. We're going to be going up probably about 400 CFS a day. But the threshold where we start to get phone calls and concerns is about 2,500 CFS. We will be at that level, and we've been working hard the last 3 days bending over backwards to notify people downstream so that no one is surprised. We're also coming up slowly, so that no one's surprised. But, yeah, about that 2,500 CFS threshold is when we start to see people asking questions and wanting to be notified.
Though for reference, just during the last wet year that we had, not last year but the year before, what do we have, 88 days where we were above 4,000, approaching 5,000 CFS, which is channel capacity. So while 2,500 starts to cause people to pick up the phone, the reality is that we have a lot more capacity to discharge to. Right? If I said
a gap that between 20,000 income and 2,000.
Well, that's what the flood reservation is for. So right. We're going to absorb that and probably come up to but we'll be at between 2,000 and 3,000 CFS on release for the next 2 or 3 weeks.
So when you say pick up the phone, that means what? They call and say, hey, is it going to get any higher than this? Or
yeah, they generally want to know what the plan is and how high it's going to go, and that's really the question they want the answer to, is it going to get any higher?
And in an event like this, I would assume that the levels actually, there's our contribution, but then there's contribution from saturated soils and runoff that we don't have any control over.
Yeah, it's all passed through at this point.
Below the reservoir.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah. There'll be accretions below Comanche that add to it to some degree. Sure.
And what about San Pablo? What do we look like in terms of spill or releases there?
Nothing forecasted right now. We're holding pretty good there.
Okay, because I know in 2017 we had quite a bit that we had to put out. Okay.
Hey, thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you. Nope. Thank you.
Thank you for your rain dance.
Yeah, we asked for you to deliver today, and I guess you did. So,
thank you, Dave. So, also in your packet, I have two more things to present. One is the monthly report, and so for January, so we have information there. If you have any questions, I'll work to answer them. We have the Speakers Bureau updated at your places. What we'd like to do today, if you have an opportunity after the board meeting, is to see if we can't compare calendars and pencil out upcoming ward briefings and just try to get a sense of that. our desire would be, if it's possible, is to try to have ward briefings before the conclusion of the budget and rates process so that that can be part of outreach rather than a tell after the fact. And so Mona's here, and we'll and Andrea, and so we'll work with you if you can just pause to try to see when might be good times. And that's what I have. Thank you very much.
Okay. Reports and director comments. Finance committee minutes from the last meeting are in the packets.
I just have one question on the monthly report, if I could.
Yeah.
It's on page 4, the last item, under the Alameda County Waste Management Authority, on how they found a plastic bottle in the trash in a dumpster, an organic dumpster. We're not going to get fined, it says, this time. But what was the potential fine that they could assess against us for a plastic bottle being in an organic container?
I'm looking at my most knowledgeable manager in the room on this subject. Eileen, do you have any idea? I thought it was on the order of $1,000 or something.
I thought it was on the order of $1,000. We put out lots of emails to staff and made them aware of the situation.
Okay.
So we'll get back to you if you'd like. We'll provide you with a...
I just find it...
ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a good word for it.
Thank you.
This is the person who has to write the checks.
Okay, any other comments on monthly comments or questions on monthly report? Any one to add director comments? Director Patterson?
I did want to share with the board that I was contacted by the City of Oakland. The City Council is going to honor me on the 26th with a citation or whatever related to my work in civil rights and whatnot as part of their Black History program. So I did want to let the board members and all the staff know. That's at 5:30 on the 26th at the council meeting. It'll be the first item on the agenda, 1 Franco Gower Plaza.
Sorry, I'll miss that, Bill. I'll be in D.C. that day.
What date is it?
February 26th.
Well, that is the Aqua D.C. conference.
At their 7 o'clock? At their 7 o'clock? 5:30.
It'll be right after a board meeting.
Okay. Any other board comments? Then with that, we will adjourn until our next... Oh, if anybody has items for further consideration, please submit them to the general manager. Submit your director comments to the secretary. And with that, we are adjourned until Tuesday, February 26th at 1:15.